lesson at Mother Best Service, and I definitely want to make sure that we give it some time, especially at the beginning of a year. Many people make all kind of resolutions and plans and vows and promises and things of that nature, but they really don't give much thought to the concept of death. We're so focused, and we should be so focused on living, but just like you have to prepare for everything else, you know, you think about a marriage or a wedding, parents when they have children, all the preparation that goes into it. Parents run out and go buy all kind of little clothes and diapers and wipes and all other kind of things, crib, all of that to prepare for that baby. And for marriage, woman goes out and buys a dress, and catering, and flowers, make sure the man has his tuxedo and all other kind of stuff, all kind of rehearsals, and all for that one day, that wedding. And even with death, you think about the time people put in for that. They get all kind of life insurance policies or set up their wills or their trusts. And they go out and buy a burial ground, caskets, and all other kind of things. And that's to prepare for death. And all of those things, they take care of the flesh or the body. But you think about yourself, you say, well, what am I doing to prepare my soul? What am I doing to prepare my soul for its departure out of this body? As the text says, we have an appointment with death. Yes. Hebrews chapter number 9, 27 and 28. When people read this, they hear the text or the title of the sermon series, they say, Elder Scudder, that sounds so morbid. Sounds so gloomy and so dead. Well, that's what this is. Scripture. Hebrews tells us, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. So if you think about what it is saying, you and I have an appointment with death, whether we want to face that fact or not. We need to prepare to leave this earth, and we need to be serious about it. This is not something that we can take lightly or try to push it to the side as though it's unimportant. It is important, because I have seen it time and time again. Death catches people in unaware. They're not ready for it. They're not prepared. And they act as though Jesus didn't warn them. He gave you ample warning to get your house in order before he calls, right? All right, let's go on the inside and look at a little bit more of some of these scriptures. As we said, the appointment is established by Jesus. Job chapter number 14 and 5 says, our days are determined. The numbers of our months are with him. He's appointed our bounds that we cannot pass. 14 and 15, Job helps us to understand how that process works. What does it look like when a person dies? According to the scripture, Jesus calls. Jesus calls and we answer. And when we answer, he lets us know he's going to have a desire to the work of his what? His hands. You and I are the work of his hands. He is the one that formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became living souls. And he's appointed the bounds of our habitation. He's set limits or time periods as to how long we were going to be here on the earth. And what we do with that time is going to determine where we're going to spend eternity. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and 14. It says God is going to bring every work into judgment with him. And not only every work, but all of the secret things. As we said, the things that are in your mind that nobody else knows about. The things, the thoughts. This is why we need to ask Jesus to help us with our thoughts. Help us not only with our behaviors, but help us with our thoughts. We realize the behaviors that we engage in, they have a source. They come from somewhere. They come from our thoughts. And if our behaviors are wicked, that lets us know our thoughts are wicked. And we need Jesus to go in and create in us a clean heart or a clean mind so that we can do the things that we are supposed to do. Why are we concerned about this? Because every one of us are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us are going to have to stand before Jesus, and we're going to have to give an account for the things that we have done in this body, whether those things are good or bad, acceptable or unacceptable. A psalm writer lets us know that the Lord is in the process now of preparing his throne for judgment. And he's going to judge the world by the standard of righteousness. And you and I know automatically, because of Adam, we don't come here righteous. We come here in the state or the condition of sin. Every one of us are born in sin. We have nothing to do with that. You know, even Elena, you know, we look at them and we say, oh, sweet little babies, but they're born in sin. According to the scripture, they come forth out of their mother's womb speaking lies. They are the wicked. And who can deliver us from that wicked nature? Who can deliver us from that body that has been brought into death? Nobody but Jesus. He's the only one that can deliver us from that. Came to save people from sin. This is the message of the church. This is the focus of the church. Jesus, help me to get out of my sin. Jesus, help me to follow your plan to get sin out of me and to keep it out of me. Right? That's true. Repentance tells us, turn your life around. Realize, you know, I don't want to go down this path of sin. I don't want this to be the sum of my life. I don't want it to be said all of my life, all I did was sin. That's true. You don't want that to be said about yourself, that all of the time Jesus gave you is all you did was sin. And that's a horrible thing to be said about somebody, that all they did was do things that Jesus told you not to do. Especially when Jesus said, I'm come to save you. That let me know Jesus want me to change. But the thing is, no matter how much the Lord want me to change, I have to want that. I have to want a different life for myself. I have to say within myself that the things that I'm doing, the ways that I'm thinking are not pleasing to Jesus. And if they're not pleasing to Jesus, I have to be willing to make the necessary change so that I can make him happy. Then he tells you not only about the repentance, he says to go down in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission or for the removal of sin. In other words, sin don't go nowhere. People think they can pray sin off. You can't pray sin off. You can't wish sin away from you. Jesus says, my blood is the only thing that can remove sin from you. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus says, I have given you my name for the remission or for the removal of sin. Now, once you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, you come up out of that water, walking in the newness of life, no longer thinking the way that you thought before you went down there. You realize I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. My life belongs to Jesus. He purchased me, right? Just like that man that sleeps at that harlot becomes one flesh, Jesus is expecting you when you go down in that water that you come up and take on his identity. You start doing things the way he tells you to do it. Say, the life now I live because of him that loved me. Now that I've been washed in his blood, the life that I live because of him that loved me and washed me from my sin in his own blood. And after you get baptized or after you get sin washed away, you need something to keep you. Holy Ghost is a sustainer. Holy Ghost is a keeper. It's a preserver. It is there not to force you to do right, but to remind you This is not like Jesus. This way you're thinking is not like Jesus. What you're doing is not in agreement to Jesus. How you're feeling is not like the spirit of Jesus inside of you, right? Come on, that's truth. And you have to be honest with yourself. When the Holy Ghost comes on the inside, is there to help you live right. Is an agent. It's an advocate. Is there to help you with your shortcomings, to help you with your flesh. But if you're not careful, you'll keep on overriding it till it won't work no more. I feel sorry for people that had the Holy Ghost and it don't work no more. What good is it? What good is it to say you have something that's not working anymore? If it's not working, that means you got to go back to the drawing board. Got to go back and get that thing fixed. And it's not Jesus that needs to be fixed. It's you. Your will has overwritten his will. Your desires are greater than his desires. But Lord said, I know the desires of the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace. Now, you can't let your desires go greater than Jesus' desires. If the Lord said, I desire peace for you, you have to let your will or your wants be in agreement with his. In other words, he knows the things that are best for you. He knows what things you have need of. He knows what things to permit to come into your life. Lord, let things come into your life and they're designed to bring you at peace. And then he lets things go out of you. He lets things, you get separated from stuff that's not allowing you to be at peace. That's not allowing you to keep your mind stayed on him. And you got to be willing to let that stuff go. You got to be willing to say, no, I don't want that, because this is not helping me keep my mind on Jesus. And I'm okay. I'm okay not having it. People will be coming trying to tell you, don't you realize what you're letting go? Do you realize you're letting all that good stuff go? But they don't realize the turmoil and the mess that stuff does into your mind. And you have to be willing to let that stuff go. You think about it. When the scriptures say, what is a man willing to give in exchange for his soul? And you have to say within yourself, I'm not willing to let anything come between me and Jesus. My soul is too important. The real me is too important. Where my soul is going to spend eternity, it matters to me. That is important to me. I'm concerned about when I stop breathing down here on the earth, where my soul, the real me, is going to wind up. And the Lord has given me a checklist. Lord has given me a guide to go by and say, Stephen, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you made the necessary preparations for you to be able to go back with me when I come? Have you made your soul ready? You think about that. Go over to the book of Luke. I intend to go there. Maybe we need to see it. I want that scripture where it says that about where they called Luke chapter number 13 and 22.
13 and 23. Yes. And he went through the city, right, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem.
That's right.
Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?
That's it. That's all we're doing, saints. We are on a journey. Yep. We're on a journey to go back with Jesus when he comes. But yet you have to ask yourself, where are you headed? What direction am I headed in? And you come to church so that you can get into the direction to go back with Jesus when he comes. You're not here for any other reason. If you're in here for any other reason, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. You're here because you say, I want to go back with Jesus when he comes. Therefore, every message, every Bible lesson is going to be focused on preparing you, to preparing your soul to go back with Jesus when he comes. Now, just like Jesus was preparing to offer up his body as a sacrifice for sin, and all while he was journeying to that destination, scripture says that he was teaching, right? You look at verse number 22 again. Jerusalem represents the place where Jesus was going to pay the ultimate sacrifice. That was the place where he was going to pay sin's price. But he did not get off of mission because he didn't get there yet. All while he was journeying, he was teaching. In the same way with you and I. All while we're journeying to go back with Jesus, we have to stay focused on where we are desiring to be at. Whether it's in Bible lessons, whether it's in messages, whether it's in songs, whether it's in our engagements, our relationships, everything should be focused on going back with Jesus when he comes. If Jesus did it while he was here on the earth, you and I have to do it. That's right. He was focused. He was focused. He said, to this end was I born. This is why I came on the earth, that I might bear witness of truth. That brother said, what is truth? Jesus didn't open up his mouth. After a while, the Lord looked at that fellow, looked at Jesus. He said, I find in him no fault at all. Right? In other words, I find no error in Jesus. Well, if that's true about Jesus, what can be said about you? You have to have a focus. You can't let people that do not have a focus distract you. You can't let people that do not have a sense of direction get you off course. Some people are on the broad road. Some people are on the road to destruction. But you have to say, no, I don't want to be destroyed. Jesus gave me a mind to come off of the broad road and get on that narrow way. Jesus gave me a mind to not go through that broad gate, but to go through the straight gate, the narrow way that leads to life. I realize, yes, there were a whole lot of people that were on that broad way. But because I want to live, I've got to have a mind to get off of that road and start following behind Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is life. And if I want to live, I've got to follow behind Jesus. Even if I've got to walk by myself, I have to have a focus. Jesus is who I want to spend eternity with, right? That's the truth. Come on. He was journeying towards Jerusalem.
Then said one unto him,
yes.
Lord,
yes. Come on. Get it fixed in your mind, saints. People are not going to be coming into this way by the droves. I know it. We would love to have lots of people coming in and get their souls right. We would love it. I would love to see the seats full. I would love to see this temple built and filled with people that want to be saved. All that joy that would be in my soul. You know, you just have saints all over the building. Praising and magnifying Jesus. Everybody on the instruments just praising the Lord. Folk have a mind to want to live right. Huh? I'm not so much concerned with what you're doing in these walls. I'm concerned with how you're living outside these walls. And you be wondering, you say, well, the scutter won't the folk come. Because the message is not concerned with what you're doing in here. It's concerned with how you behave out there. This word, it follows you. This word searches you. This word don't leave you at peace. No, this word disturbs you. This word interrupts your whole living. This word lets you see the errors of your ways. And it calls you into correction. That's why folk don't want to be bothered with it. Because it calls them into correction. And they try to silence that thing. Righteousness is trying to make them right. And they try to silence it. Righteousness says, you got to stop this. You shouldn't be saying this. You shouldn't be going here. You shouldn't be listening to this. You know this is not like Jesus. Righteousness tries to make you hide and cover up. But righteousness says, no, you cannot hide. You know, I meant to say sin. Sin tries to make you cover it up and try to be deceitful. But righteousness says, you can't hide. Righteousness says, Jesus sees everything that you're doing. Jesus sees everything and he knows everything. You may be able to twist your stories up and say, I did this and I did that. But righteousness says, no, you know you're lying. Your righteousness says, you know you're lying. Righteousness pulls the covers off of you. Righteousness helps you to see yourself. When you have a mind to want to be right, when you have a mind to want to be right, you say, Jesus, show me the errors of my way. Give me a mind to correct the errors of my ways. But when you got a mind to do sin, you run from Jesus. You run hard from the Lord. You do everything you can do to stay away from Jesus. You blame job. You blame sickness. You do everything you can do to stay away from Jesus. But there's no place for you to hide. There's no place you can hide from Jesus. He sees everything. He knows everything. There's no place for you to hide from Jesus. David says, if I go way up into the sky, Jesus is right there. If I go down way in the cave, down in the hole, Jesus is right there. Even if I make my bed in hell, Jesus is right there. I cannot flee from your presence. I've come to find the thing that makes Jesus God is he's omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. He's not omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. Huh? He knows the thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. You can get by with people, but you cannot get by with Jesus. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the rein, and I'm going to reward you accordingly, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. You got to understand this. In your journey, in your journey, in your movement towards going back with Jesus, he is going to make you who you're supposed to be. But you have to move yourself out the way. And you have to say, no, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about, you know, all the stuff that's going on down here in the earth. I have to discipline my mind. I have to discipline my thoughts and say, Stephen, I want to go back with Jesus when he comes. And no matter what the cost, I want to go back with Jesus when he comes. I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to miss the New Jerusalem. I don't want to miss the place where righteousness dwells, where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Huh? Come on. Only a few are going to get there. Everybody's talking about going back with it, but people are not working towards it. They're not working towards it. They're not listening to the teaching. Huh? Jesus is teaching, but people are not listening to the teaching. They're coming up with their own doctrine. Huh? It's doctrine in the wind. Huh? Oh, yeah. It's doctrine. It's teaching. All in the air. It's all in the air. And all these doctrines and teachings are not the teachings of Jesus. They're not the ways Jesus tells you to do the thing. Huh? Come on. We got our own way of doing this stuff. But the Lord said, I've got a way. I've got a way for you to do this stuff. Even when you're sick. Lord, tell you how to deal with your sickness. Huh? Come on. You may say, well, I'm going to deal with my sickness the way I want to do it. I've got my remedies. I've got my ways of doing it. I've been doing it my way all my life. And it's been working. But Jesus said, no, there is a way that seems right. Huh? But the end leads to death. It leads to destruction. You've got to have a mind. I want to do it Jesus' way. Huh? Jesus said, if a man be sick, let him call upon the elders, huh? And let him pray. The prayer of faith, it'll heal the sick, huh? Come on. When you've done something wrong, you say, I did this wrong, and don't nobody know I did it. I'm going to keep it to myself. But that's not Jesus' way. Jesus' way don't teach you to do that. Jesus' way tells you to confess your wrongs, huh? Come on, confess your wrongs. Confess them one to another. If I've done Deacon James wrong, it's not my job to go to Brother Pendleton and talk about it. It's my job to go to the source. Deacon James, I did you wrong. Brother, please forgive me for the errors of my ways. And if he's in himself, say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. That's between him and Jesus. I've done my part. I've got that burden off of me. And I have to ask the Lord, Jesus, he don't want to forgive me. Jesus, please touch his mind. Because I don't want my brother to be lost because of something that I did to him. But I want the air to be clean. Huh? I want the air to be clean. I want the vibes to be right. Why? Because we're striving to go back with Jesus when he comes. And I don't want this little wrong, this little sin, this little error to be static on our line. Not when we're supposed to be listening to the teachings of Jesus. We need his teachings in order for us to make it back with him. It's a distracting spirit out here. It's a distracting spirit out here that's trying to indoctrinate us with things that are not according to Jesus' teaching. Huh? Come on. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. Huh? Come on. It's not a place for you to learn how to manage your money. It's not a place for you to learn how to get a spouse. It's a place for you to be able to communicate with Jesus. For you to make your petitions known to Jesus, for you to be able to testify of his deeds, of his wondrous works, Huh? Of the mighty things that Jesus is doing amongst the people. That's why he gave us this place. So souls can be saved. So people can be delivered from sin. That's the truth. These strange winds and doctrines are going on in the air, making men think that they can do whatever they want to do. Huh? Come on. They don't want to submit themselves to Jesus' ways. They don't want to be sanctified. Lord told you to be sanctified. He told you to touch not the unclean thing. He told you to come out from among them. Be separate. Huh? Come on. That's the teachings of Jesus. But that strange doctrine tells you to go on along with it. Lord, love you just the way you are. Lord, love you just how you are. Lord, love you by you doing the things that you're doing. If he loved you by you doing the things that you're doing, he would have never told you to repent. Huh? Lord would have never told you to stop wickedness. Huh? If it was all right for you to keep on sinning, he would have never told you to stop it. But he told you to stop it. He told you to bring sin to an end. And after he cleans you up, he tells you to go and sin no more. That means I got to change my thinking. Once the Lord bring me over to holiness, he bring me in here to clean me up. I got to be willing to say, Jesus, show me the stuff I need to stop doing. Jesus, show me the things that I need to stop saying. Jesus, show me the ways that I need to stop thinking. And help me to do and say and think the way that you would have me to do. Why, Jesus, I need you to teach me. Why? Because I don't know the way I should be going. You know the path that I'm supposed to take, right? That's the truth. Teaching all the way. Come on. Read 22 again. Yes. Yes. Yep. That's the truth. I done been through this city. I done been through it. I've had a path. Done had a path, and I've been teaching all along that path. Now we over here in Yaden. The message has not changed. Same message that we had when we was on the corner of Union Wallace. We got that same message. Same message. Same message. Same teaching. Same ways of doing things. Huh? You say, oh, this got on. No, you changed. Nah. You may have changed, but we haven't changed. Teachings are still the same. When you came in, we didn't have nobody. Huh? Came in, children was little. Children were small. All I had was me and my wife. Had that little piano. She was on them drums. And the Lord had brought us right back to where we was at before. You see, it's over 20-something years later. We back at square one again. You say, what are you talking about? You back at square one. Well, we always there? No. Lord raised up young people to learn how to do this stuff. And they got sidetracked. Huh? Got sidetracked and started paying attention to everything else. They didn't value. You didn't value. You didn't value where Jesus put you at. Where did he put you at? He put you in the sanctified place. He protected you from all the devilment that was going on in the earth and told you, be satisfied with being holy. Be satisfied with being sanctified. Let me shape you and mold you into what you I would have you to be. Come on, don't go out there and fool with them other folk. Why? Because they will turn you away. Huh? Come on. I think you said that this year. Last year was a challenge. Why? Well, what did you learn from last year's challenge? Last year's challenge let you know your mind was under attack. Your mind was under attack left and right. It was so many people out there trying to turn you away from Jesus. Trying to rob you. Get you away from your first love. Huh? Nobody loved you like Jesus. Nobody cared for you like Jesus. Nobody has your best interest at heart. Not like Jesus. But you let that devil get in your mind and tell you that they love you. That they care for you. But look at the end result. Look what you gave up. Look what you let go. And the Lord said, because you let it go, because you let that thing go, that does not stop my church. My church keeps right on going. Huh? Come on, saints. Church keeps right on going. With or without you, the church keeps right on going. He don't leave himself without a witness. Lord, don't leave himself without a witness. He keeps you right on going. And it's amazing. We went right back to the square root. Went right back to the foundation again. same beat. Come on, we haven't lost it. That same beat. Our bodies have gotten older, but we haven't lost it. Every now and then I look over at my wife. I say, you all right, baby? She said, yeah, I'm still going. My leg is getting stiff. But you don't understand. We're on our way to Jerusalem. Come on, saints. I'm on my way to go back with Jesus. I can't let up. I can't give up because things get difficult. I can't give up because my body has changed. I'm in this till the death. Oh, come on. You've got to be in this till the death. You got to have a made up mind. I'm determined to serve Jesus, even if it costs my life. I'm in this till the death.
Huh?
Come on, the teachings of Jesus have not changed. Come on. He went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there going to be a few? When I look back at all of the years that we have been at this, come on, this is the first Sunday of a new year, 2024. Huh? And I have learned that Satan has not stopped attacking the Lord's bride. Huh? Don't you know the church is Jesus' bride? Satan has not stopped attacking the Lord's bride. Even while the bride is trying to make herself ready. Make herself ready for what? The wedding? We haven't been married yet. We're waiting for the wedding. Only those that are ready, only those that are ready for the wedding are going to make it. And when I look back over our congregation, only three have made it in. Huh? Only three. Come on. Scripture says only a few are going to be saved. Do you believe it? I believe it, Jesus. Because when I look back over the years of working, over the years of laboring to the glory of Jesus' name, everything we've been doing has been to the glory of Jesus' name. It hasn't been to glorify flesh. It hasn't been to exalt flesh. It has been to the glory of Jesus' name. And it has only been a few that have had a mind to say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to let go of all of this stuff that your name may be glorified, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I'm willing.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm willing, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let go of all of this stuff that your name may be glorified. Come on. I've had family. I've had friends. Come on. If everybody that came stayed, all of these red seats would be filled up. Come on. I can name them. Name by name. One by one. Face by face. Everybody that came stayed. Everybody that heard the message. If they stayed, there wouldn't be enough room in this place. Huh? But then, every now and then, the Lord puts us in a situation where we have to look at him and say, Lord, Lord, where are the people? Lord, Lord, where are the people? Huh? Come on. Verse number 23 lets us know this is not a new message. It's the same message. They were saying it to Jesus when Jesus was walking with them. And here we are, January 7th, 2024, saying the same thing to the Lord Jesus. When we look at him, we are saying, Lord, are there only going to be a few? Huh? Come on, look at your own household. Look at your own household. Look at your own household. Look in your four walls. Look up under your roof. And you can look and say, I started out by myself. But the Lord added people to my vineyard, added souls under my roof. But when I look at today, where are they? Come on. When you look at today, where are they? Where are they? I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying. But where are they? Lord, where are the people? Huh? Come on, saints. You ought to be saying it right with me. Lord, where are the people? Huh? Lord, where are the people? Huh? When I look at where we are right now, it's only going to be a few. Oh, it's only going to be a few. Jesus, let me be. Thank you, Jesus. Let me be the few. Huh? Come on! Let me be the few. Huh? Let me be the few. Huh? There's no doubt, yes, you may be sick in your body. I don't feel well. I don't feel well. I haven't been feeling well for over a month, saints. My body has been cutting up over a month. My body has just been I've been struggling with my energy, struggling with this cold in my body. This stuff has just been getting on my nerves. I was sitting on the side of the bed this morning, sat in the chair. I said, Jesus, I'm tired. Jesus, I'm tired. But then when I looked, I thought about Brother Robert. The brother called me this morning. It was 8:30. He said, Elder, are you on your way? Because I got to run up to the avenue, and I don't want to miss you. I said, Brother, no, I haven't left yet. And little did he know, I was struggling. But the Lord blessed him to give me a call and let me know that I ain't running by myself. Huh? Somebody else outside of my four walls is journeying, trying to go back with Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. Somebody else is trying. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm just trying. Y'all understand this? I don't know everything. I do not know everything. But I thank the Lord I got a mind to try. Huh? Jesus have kept me with a mind to keep right on trying. Huh? Come on. All I have is a word to go by. You say, Elder Scudder, I don't feel well. I'm sick. Huh? All I have is what Jesus said. Jesus told you to bring your sicknesses to him. Huh? Cast all of your cares. Huh? Come on, saints. Lord didn't say cast all some of them. He said cast all of them. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's happening in your life. All we have is Jesus. We ain't got nobody else to turn to, saints. Huh? Even when you got to walk by yourself, you ain't got nobody else to walk with. Because all you have is Jesus. Be satisfied with Jesus alone, right? Learn to be satisfied with Jesus. Learn to be satisfied with Jesus. Hear his teachings. Come on, saints. Hear the Lord's teachings. Lord hears your cry. Lord sees what you're saying. He sees you say, Lord, Lord, where are the people? He hears you. He sees them. He sees them. He sees them struggling in their faith. He sees them struggling just to keep going from one step to the next. He sees it. He sees the struggle. He sees where the enemy is standing up against them. Huh? He sees there's nobody but Satan that's standing in your way. Huh? That devil get in your face like a natural man. He's trying to tell you no. You're not going nowhere. But just as hard as he pushes, you got to push back, right? Huh? As hard as that devil push, you got to push back. Huh? You got to push back. You got to say no. Huh? You are not going to win. Huh? No. You are not going to win. No. You are not going to get my soul, right? Huh? You're not going to get my soul. Huh? Come on, saints. You're not going to get my soul. Huh? So many people have given their souls up to Satan. Yes. Everything that the devil tell them, they go right along with it. Yes, huh? Yes. Devil say, don't do, and they just don't do. Huh? But I'm telling you, that is not who we are. We are a people of faith. Huh? All we have is our faith. Y'all understand that? Yes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where do you want to go? I want to go back with Jesus. I want to go back with Jesus. I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to miss the rapture.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
When the rapture comes, I don't want to miss it.
Jesus,
I don't want the Lord to call, and I'm not ready. Huh? He already told you, I'm going to call, and you are going to. I don't want him to call, and I'm not ready. Huh? Somebody say somebody got pneumonia. I don't care what you got. I don't care what you got. You got to see, my soul is too important. You could have COVID. I don't care what you got. It ain't worth your soul, right? It's not worth your soul. I'm going to tell you how serious this is. If you got COVID, you say, I don't want to infect nobody. I'll stand outside the door. I'll stand in the parking lot. Just open up the windows and let me hear the word. Huh? Why? Because I don't want to miss the rapture. Huh? If I got COVID, let me sit in my car and hear what thus saith the Lord. Why? Because the Lord could give me a word to heal my body. Y'all understand that? The Lord could give me a word to heal my body. Do y'all believe that? I believe when Jesus speaks. Huh? Y'all understand this? I believe when Jesus speaks, things change. Remember, the world was dark. But Jesus said, let there be light. Huh? Things change. Huh? So if you ask for anything this year, say, Lord, give me your word. Why? Because when you speak, things change. Change for what? The better. Huh? Come on, look at us, saints. Things change for the better. We no longer on a corner. No longer crying about whether the floors are going to cave in. Because we've done our best to secure. We did our best. We did our best to secure. Lord said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you solid ground. Come on, look at this church, saints. Never do we have to worry about caving in.
Right.
He gave us solid ground. Huh? Every care, every concern we had, every going up on that roof time and time. Kept looking at brother. He's getting up there. I'm getting old. It is the truth. The brother pushing mid-50s. Huh? Coming on him quick. Get going up there, but just as much as they would go, we'd get up there. Son would get up there too. I'd say, come on, Derek. Got to get up there. Help your daddy. He's going, yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. Get up there. Got sick of them leaves. Lord said, just keep right on going. I'm going to take care of you, but just keep right on going. Came in here one Sunday, one service, trees up. Come in here the next service, trees are down. Huh? See, you cast every care. Y'all understand this? Don't take the Lord's word lightly. He cares about us, saints.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And he will give you a word that will bring about significant change. In whose life?
My life.
So I just open up my ears and hear what thus saith the Lord. He has my best interest at heart. Huh? Every now and then, we'll cry. Lord, is there just going to be a few that are going to be saved? But then we have to listen to Jesus. Don't listen to people. People will tell you, oh, no, you got to do this marketing strategy. You got to do this to get the people. You got No. You better listen to the teachings of Jesus. What does the teachings of Jesus tell you? Strive. Huh? Come on. What does that mean? Don't you pay attention to who's sitting beside you? Come on! This is Jesus' teaching. He's the one that said this. You asked him a question, and he gave you an answer, right? You said, Lord, are there going to be a few that's going to be saved? And the Lord said, the Lord God himself said what? Strive to enter in at the what?
Many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
You don't want that to be said about you, do you?
No.
I see it. I see it. I hear it all the time. People left and right. Pray for me. Pray for my mind. Pray for me. And I'd be sitting on the side and say, Lord, they don't even have a mind to pray for themselves. They ain't got no mind to even cry to the Lord for themselves. They don't even realize, same voice I got, they got. Huh? Y'all understand that? One thing I learned about Bartimaeus, that brother cried. Because he knew what he wanted. Huh? He didn't ask nobody else to cry. He said, Lord, I'm the one that need the sight. The folk told him to shut your mouth, hold your peace. He cried out the more, Jesus. Jesus, right? And saying, if that's true about Bartimaeus, what about you and I? We got to stop trying to ask people to pray for us. And you need to open up your mouth and pray for yourself. Huh? Open up your mouth and go before Jesus for yourself. Say, oh, Scott, well, I don't know how to pray. He gave you a name that's above every name. Everything you need is in that name of Jesus. You got to believe it, though. You have to believe it. Everything I need is in that name of Jesus. That name satisfies my every want. It fulfills my every desire. When I'm talking about I want love, all I got to do is just say Jesus. Jesus is love. Right? Talking about I want peace, all I got to do is say Jesus. Jesus is. You. But who's got to believe it? You do. I can tell it. I can give you the teaching, but you got to do what? Believe it. Right? Come on. We look at the numbers and say, Lord, it's just going to be a few that's going to be saved. Jesus, I'm in it by myself. Ain't nobody coming. Lord says, what? Strive. To enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, well, you will seek to enter in. Not be able. Do you want to be that? I don't want to be that way. I don't want to come so far on this journey and say, Lord, I cannot make it. Now, when the Lord gave you his presence, when you got the Holy Ghost, you got God himself living down on the inside. You got everything you need to make it. Huh? Come on. All you need to do is just draw off of what's in you. Say, oh, God, I'm drawing. There ain't nothing there. You got to cry out to the Lord. Say, Jesus, put something down in me. Put something down in me. What are you going to put in? I don't want this stuff. I want the Holy Ghost. Down where? Inside of me, right? So I can draw off of that well. Huh? It's the truth. So I can draw off of that well. I want the Holy Ghost to be inside of me like a well of living water. Huh? So I can draw off of that well. When my body gets tired, all I got to do is just pump Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That well begins to do a spring up. It gives me strength, right? Huh? It gives me strength. It strengthens that inner man. Come on, y'all read me a little. Finish me up. I'm done. Yes. Yeah, that's Jesus. And shut to the door. Stand there what? Huh? See, what that means, you got to have the Holy Ghost, saints. You can't play no games with this. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Why? Because one day you're going to stand before Jesus. Either you're going to have him or you're not going to have him. Woe to you if you don't have him. Why? Because you're going to be standing there doing what? Knocking. Huh? That means you're going to be calling out to him. Jesus. 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 Right? Keep going. Uh-huh. Open. 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 I know ye not. Do you want the Lord to say that to you? Not when you got enough time to get yourself ready. You dead, it's too late. He said, Elder Scudder, will you preach over me when I'm dead? That's too late. You where you going to be at when you take your last breath. Mother Beth was where she was going to be at December the 12th when she took her last breath. Them doctors looked and they said, that body ain't breathing no more. Call it. You know what they say? Call it. Time of expiration. Such, 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 such. Huh? Now, what if the doctors ain't there to call it? They don't, doctors, Jesus said, I don't need no doctors to call it. When I take the breath, that's it. Y'all ever see people, they find them dead. Find them dead and they think they say, oh, they died, such and such. And you don't know when they did because you wasn't there to see it, right? But who do know? Jesus know. Huh? And when he called, they did what? They answered. Huh? He found them all over the place. Some people be driving down the street and he call them. Some people be walking down the sidewalk and he call them. Some people be laying in the bed at night, having a good night's sleep. But then he do what? He call them. Huh? He call them and they do what? They answer. Huh? He call them right on over into eternity, right? Huh? Come on. And then when we get there, we say, oh, such, 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 they died. Oh, pray over their body. Man, it's too late. It's too late, man. They better been crying out to Jesus before they died. Hopefully they got their soul right before they died. What you mean got their soul right? They ain't getting no water. Well, the Lord said, man, they may have not the spirit of Christ. He's none of his. Lord told Nicodemus, you can't get in. You ain't been born of water and spirit. Well, why didn't they? You should have told them, man. Haven't they been listening to the teachings of Jesus? He's been teaching all along the way. He went through the cities and the villages telling you what you must do, right? Now, it's up to you to do what? Listen. Listen to his teachings. Huh? He's telling you what you must do. Right? Telling you, strive to get in. Because many, I say, are going to seek to get in. They're not going to have no new birth. They're going to be going through the forms and the fashions. Huh? Let's lift up our hands and wave and praise him. Blah, 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 blah. They're going to be going through the forms and the fashions. And they're going to get to the door. And the door is going to be shut. And they're going to knock on the door. Saying, Lord, Lord, open up. Lord said, I know ye not. Huh? You are what? Keep going.
And it says, in 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten.
You're going to give the Lord your resume. See how folk, see how bold people are? Even at death. People are going to try to tell Jesus how deserving they are to be in his presence. Huh? Come on. Did y'all? I'll say it again. Even at death, people are going to have the nerve to say within themselves how deserving they are to be in the presence of Jesus. That's how foolish sin makes you. This is why one writer calls it the deception of sin, the deception of wickedness. It deceives you. It makes you think you'll do something that you're not. What's the difference? See, when John was dead, John fell at his feet as though he was dead. John didn't say, Lord, I'm worthy to be here. John said, oh, no, I'm not worthy. That's the difference between having Jesus and not having Jesus. See, you know that old arrogant attitude? People think that they're going to lose that arrogant attitude when they go on over into eternity. You still going to be arrogant. Huh? Oh, yeah, you still going to be high-minded, even in eternity, right? Look at the rich man. Look at how arrogant he was. What did he say? Send Lazarus. Huh? Come on. That's arrogance. That's arrogance. Just because he died, he didn't lose his character. He still thought he was owed something. Shame on you. Shame on you. Search yourself, saints. See where you are at in the faith. Ask the Lord to help you. Make you what you need to be. Ask the Lord to take away that high-minded, that high attitude, that I'm going to do what I want attitude, that I'm doing the Lord a favor attitude. Huh? And ask the Lord, Jesus, help me to understand I'm undeserving. And all that I'm doing, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything that you do for me. Everything you're doing is just grace and mercy to me. It's unmerited. I don't deserve it. Come on. I'm done. Give me.
And then shall he begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in our presence.
Yeah.
And thou hast taught in our street. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not.
What? What does the Lord say?
I know you not which ye are.
Depart from me, you. What did he call them? And that's something? That's something you got to think about, saints. That means they were working in sin. See, they didn't let Jesus remove sin. See, Jesus' blood is for the what? The remission. It's for the removal. Huh? So that means they were doing all this stuff without sin being what? Is that true? I see a whole lot of people doing the work of Jesus, but sin is not being removed. They're still living like sinners. Even those that have gone down in the water. Isn't that sad? People that have gone down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, they still drink. They still party. They still dress like whoremongers. What have you been delivered from? You are still a worker of what? Iniquity. Lord say, when I remove sin from you, you're supposed to go and do what? You're supposed to come up out that water walking hell. You realize you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to the one that washed you, that loved you, justified you, right? In what? His own blood. So think about that, saints. I'm done. I'm not going to hold you up any longer. First, y'all got something out the word.